The specialists are back, and we are here with a new TV show. Is it a TV show? New streaming show.
Wait, on Netflix. I thought it was a movie.
Is it a movie? Wow. Well, you didn't watch the right thing. Okay, Will, you're out.
Wait, you didn't watch the Nicolas Cage and Elijah Wood crime thriller, The Trust?
I just kept looking up ways to protect my money. That's what I kept getting every time I typed in The Trust. If you don't type in A Game of Greed, you don't get this show. It does not happen. But we're here to talk about The Trust, A Game of Greed, which is the new Netflix reality show. And we thought that this would be a little bit of a fun conversation with The Traitors coming out tomorrow, which, by the way, it's being released at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So we will be going live at shortly after midnight Eastern time. My life will just be sad.
Are you sure it's not 9 p.m. wherever you are?
And 9 p.m. Eastern time.
So it's 6 p.m. West Coast time. I don't have to wait till 9 p.m. where I am, or else you're totally screwed.
Will, you have done it in the past. You can figure it out. I know you're a man who taught me how to watch West Coast when I was living on the East Coast. So you're a wizard. Or no, wait, we were watching East Coast while we were living on the West Coast. You know how to do that. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, it's tricky. You're like a hacker, but
yeah, we're pretty cool. Yeah, that's why Will wears backwards hats, because he's pretty much a hacker. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so we thought it'd be fun to kind of compare these two shows. That's not the point of it, but to kind of look at what Netflix is counter programming to The Traitors, which we know is already a hit, had season one, it already happened. So, Will, why? Because you kind of can explain this stuff better than I can. Why don't you explain the premise of The Trust, A Game of Greed to our loyal listeners? And these are loyal listeners if you are listening to The Trust, A Game of Greed episodes.
Okay, so the Netflix show. I was going to give the plot synopsis of the 2016 The Trust.
Please don't.
But I can give a synopsis of the show. This is an interesting show. Sorry, I can't speak. Because it is truly a social experiment. Like a lot of these shows claim to be, this is a real social experiment. Mm-hmm. What happens is, I think we start with 11 people. They go to a nice mansion. This is in the Dominican Republic. And I only know that because I've actually shot a show at one of these locations they went to.
Did you know Santo Domingo was in the Dominican Republic or no?
I never saw a title of saying where it was.
Oh, they say Santo Domingo a couple times.
Oh, I never saw Santo Domingo.
Yeah. They don't show it. They say it. They don't actually put it on screen.
Man, then they went far for the lagoon, if I know my Dominican Republic geography. Anyway, everyone has a share of $250,000 just by being there. And every episode or every day or whatever, they have a trust ceremony and you can vote someone out. And whoever gets the most votes is eliminated, but you don't have to vote. And I think that's the most interesting thing about this show and the entire premise is you don't have to vote. You don't have to eliminate people. And then there are opportunities to add to that fund or take away from that fund if you are selfish, which we've yet to see anybody really do. But it is a show a lot about relationships, a lot about people and why they're there. And it's basically 11 people. You are splitting this money. It's basically the amulet advantage for an entire show, where the amulet advantage in Survivor was three people had it. If you eliminated someone, the amulet became more powerful. This is the same deal. Basically, the fewer people there, the more money you're getting, the more glory and winnings that you receive. And that's the overall gist. They have a couple other tent poles, as we call them, staples of the show. We have offers, which are like these decision points that two people go make in private in what they call the vault. We also have tests, which are their form of challenges, which are little activities just to kind of stir the pot and get people thinking and conniving. And so far we've had one excursion, which is basically a reward. So those are kind of the big events of the show. I imagine we're going to get down to the end. There doesn't have to be one winner. We could have three winners, four winners, whoever. So that's the gist. Did I miss anything, Phil?
No, not really. I think you just about covered it. One thing that was definitely not clear in the first episode is if they all choose not to vote somebody out of the game doesn't end. They kept being like, if you don't break the trust, you get the trust. But it's like, no, this is going to be, I think it's 8 episodes. So this is 1 through 4. Next Wednesday is going to be 5 through 7. And then on the 24th is going to be the finale. So we did actually see them not vote somebody out in one of the episodes, and we'll kind of break this down a little bit. So if you don't vote somebody out, it's not like the game is over. It's just that it's like, oh, congratulations.
No, you just for a round. Yeah, you survived it for a round.
They didn't tell us how many rounds there's going to be, though, which I thought was interesting.
Well, because I think they don't – they can't really know that either. Like, you know, the first – one of the first scenes of the show is everyone arriving, and it's a public vote. The host is like, if anyone wants to step forward and cast a vote now, you are free to do so just based on first impressions. Obviously, nobody did because that would put a huge target on your back. You're probably, as you know, surely going home next. But they don't know, that's what I mean. They don't know. It's not like Survivor or Big Brother or Amazing Race or any of these shows. And that's why I said earlier, it is a true social experiment because this show could end potentially with 11 winners. Now, obviously, they're going to do everything in their power to not make an entire season where no one gets eliminated. They're going to cast interesting people. They're going to cast people with secrets. They're going to reveal those secrets, and those secrets will make people not want other people to be there. They're also going to tempt people by adding more money to the pot or adding ways for individuals to get more money for themselves, and then probably expose that when people do it. I think we'll probably see at some point, someone will make a selfish decision and then it will be revealed that that person did that, and that person will then go home. So they are doing things to ensure that we don't get a boring game. But I also thought the most interesting episode maybe was the one where they didn't vote anyone off and they said, hey, we're good with everybody here. We actually do trust each other. I do kind of like, so far, at least for me, this game is not a game of greed. Like, I don't feel like that's accurate so far.
I think the reason why it doesn't feel like it's a game of greed is because nobody has actually been greedy yet. Nobody has actually nobody's basing anything off of wanting money. The offers, pretty much what they've done for all the offers so far, it has been like, one is the two people making the decision get money if they vote somebody out that night, if somebody goes home at the next thing. Or they can add to the fund. And, you know, a certain amount of money for one of them was however many people don't vote, there's $2,000 per that. Or it's just like we add $5,000 to the fund if somebody doesn't vote or whatever the reason was. I forget exactly what they were. But the offers are trying to make them be greedy. But at the moment, they're failing at making them be greedy.
I don't think the offers are pretty like – I'm also kind of confused on how the offers work, and maybe you can help me out with this, Phil. Like, mm-hmm. if the two people decide we get $10,000 each from the trust,
does that actually? Do the people know that then?
Because I can't tell if that's anonymous or not, because they keep then referencing, the host will reference, or they'll put a little Chiron on the screen, and it will be like $255,000 or $265,000 or whatever it is. And I'm just like, if you're letting players know what the current trust is, what that dollar amount is, then you can be like, oh, who went in the vault? Why did it go lower? Obviously, Phil and Will just went in and took $10,000 each, and it's not a secret. So that's a little unclear to me.
Because Brooke Baldwin, who, I mean, look,
is she a famous person, or is she just
she was like a CNN interviewer or something like that. I don't find her to be a very good, I don't think she's that good of a host. I mean, I'm not trying to say, maybe I'm just because I'm spoiled with Jeff Probst and then Alan Cumming is an actual actor, but I feel like Brooke Baldwin is like very, just like, it's very plain. This show, because it can be a very bland show, I feel like does need an over the top personality as the host. And Brooke Baldwin isn't that. Brooke Baldwin's good at her job, but she's not an over the top personality.
Yeah, I had the same problem with the host of The Mole, Mole that the Netflix did. Did you watch that? I think about
it. I didn't, but I you're not the only one who feels that way.
A part of it, it's not that they're bad speakers or that they don't look nice or that they don't command, you know, the screen or whatever. It's more, I think these hosts and Brooke here again, it's like they take the show a little bit too seriously. It's like, every decision is life or death, and it's dun, dun, dun. And it's just, we have these super high stakes and this huge mansion. And this is like, I think a big note on a lot of Netflix reality shows, at least for me, is that it takes itself really seriously. It puts a lot of money into these shows, really high production design. And, you know, they spend just a shit ton of money to make it look really good. And they spend a lot of time making the formats work, and they have some really good shows, but it really is like a serious It's not that there's not a lot of levity in the Mole. There wasn't in this. There isn't. And part of the reason I like House of Villains so much, and Phil, you still need to finish, but I think a big reason why that show was so successful, I'm plugging a show I worked on, but is because it didn't take itself seriously at all. And that was part of the creative going in was, we have all these ridiculous people. Let's lean into it. Let's laugh. Let's have fun. And here again, with the, and in the same thing as the Mole, is that it's just so serious. Like it's, it is like serious conversations. It's not a, which is fine. I think, you know, I think Survivor does a good job of having some fun, silly moments too, with being, you know, having some serious strategy. But to me, that's kind of like my biggest overall take, is that it fits into this like Netflix reality universe of being this really high value, really well-produced show, but it's super serious.
Yeah. And here's, so I want to throw up this comment for some Bigfoot brand, and then I'm going to get into some comments here, but I like the randomness of the cast we got from ages and personalities. I do like that there's a 70-year-old woman on this show. Like, we don't really ever see that. I really enjoy the host tempting the contestants with the vault, the location, and the house are gorgeous. So this goes into what you're saying. Production design is there. Everything is there. I think the problem with this show is that every single casting choice is a stereotype or a caricature of something. Like they don't feel, it doesn't feel authentic across the board. And I know, like, we have Tolu is standing there being like, look, you're more than just what we're seeing. There's more to you. Like, she understands the depth of that. But they also decided to cast a Nigerian woman who wears Africa earrings and Africa necklace, like African attire. Like, it seems like what they're doing, they have a rancher who wears a cowboy hat. You have the military white guy who is so overly alpha that, like, of course he's going to butt heads with everybody. Like, they are casting in a way that is a little cartoonish. And yet the show itself is so serious that I'm like, why am I watching? It's almost like when you used to play video games and you could make your guy look like whatever you wanted. If you were playing like NBA 2K or something, you could make them look like whatever you wanted. And so you'd make them the most ridiculous looking, tattoos everywhere, biggest afro you could
pop. They're like 7 feet tall.
Yeah, 7'8" with and like 300 pounds. And then like you'd have a point guard who's 4'8". Like, you would just exaggerate it so much. But then to set it in this setting of like, so why don't you want to take this money that is life-changing, everything like that, on the edge of this cliff and this mountain? It's like, they don't, it doesn't correlate. Like, I enjoy the concept of the show quite a bit, but there is a disconnect in there for sure.
Yet I wonder if it's casting or if it's the way the show's produced and what they're focusing on. And this could be a lot of things. It's like, you know, what they choose to show in the edit. We talked about, you know, a lot of that with Survivor. Is it when they're out there, the things that the interviews that they have, the producers asking them questions, what are they choosing to focus on? And that might be a Netflix thing where Netflix, because I feel like this happens a lot with Netflix shows and they have a very specific vibe. And I'm not sure if it's the people per se. I feel like the people aren't as like, I'm sure someone told Brian, hey, we need to wear that cowboy hat all season. Like, that's a production. Mm-hmm. That's a choice from the producers of the show. Brian's out, you know, he's out on the islands. He maybe wants to wear a baseball cap or just free ball, you know, just like let the wind in your hair. You're out in the ocean. So I don't know necessarily if it's the people they chose, but you're right. It is like, we're going to choose people from all walks of life. We're going to make everybody very different, which I think is a good thing overall. I like that. But it does feel a little cartoony at times, for sure.
It does. I mean, to the point of like Julie and Bryce. I want to talk about Julie and Bryce real quick, because I do want to talk about the cast and then kind of talk about, you know, I personally think that the concept of this show is a better reality TV show than The Traitors. The concept. But The Traitors is better. But this concept is interesting because there's a very definitive like end of what would happen. It's clear what the motives are. You don't have to be randomly chosen to be one of the traitors or everything like that. But like Julie and Bryce going into this casting element, they are so over the top of what they're, you know, like what they're being typecast as, with Bryce as like the non-binary millionaire who claims he's self-made, but all of his money was made because his mom has a real estate company. And like, I understand he made the sales to make $1 million. But when he says to Tolu, self-made, baby, all me, it's like, yeah, it was all you, dude. Like
all commission, baby.
Commission, baby. Yeah. And then like Julie with I'm so hot. I'm so hot. I'm so hot. It's like Julie's attractive, but like, why is the only, she's like a pull string doll. All she says is that she's hot. She's hot. She's hot. And like, that's where like those two characters, especially, it's like, they're all so different, but it feels like they said, okay, we need the girl who's going to continuously say she's hot. We're going to need the guy who's a little delusional and young and doesn't understand the world really. We're going to need, you know, the cowboy guy who can wear the hat all the time. That's the type of stuff that like takes me out of it. But every time we get to one of those ceremonies, I'm like, would I, I'm trying to put myself in the position and I'm saying, would I vote every single time? Because like, that's the only way you can almost guarantee you're not going to go home. So I do like that a lot. The fact that Jay sent home Simone and the fact that Julie tried to offset that vote and actually added to the Simone vote because she never thought Jay was going to vote for Simone. Like, I love that concept and that they're not revealing how many votes they are and all of that. But yeah, I mean, in terms of like the cast to me doesn't fit with the show. I don't know if I'm wrong in saying that. I mean, you probably know better than me.
No, I don't. I agree with you. It's weird because this isn't a game. It's not a game. We're not told from the start. I kind of said this earlier. It's like, there's not a, hey, play this game and one of you is going to win this prize pool. And that kind of give, you know, we saw this in Survivor season one. It's like Hatch is like, it says outwit in the damn logo. This is a game. It's outwit, outplay, outlast for $1 million. That's my goal. Here, it's like, you guys are all winners. You already won. You guys can just chill. And so I think that's the most interesting part about it is that usually in these shows, and this is where we get these big moments, we get blindsides, we get liars and people cheating and figuring out ways to advance themselves in the game, is that this isn't a game. You don't have that excuse anymore to be like, hey, I have to vote you out because, you know, we're going to have to whittle down to one anyway. Might as well vote you out now. It's like, no, no, no. That's not the case here. There's no like onus on you to actually go against someone else unless it comes really just from you as a decision. The game isn't forcing you into any of these decisions. Now, as we get deeper in, I'm sure we're going to get offers where it's going to be like, oh, you can get $50,000 if you vote someone out. For sure. Because now it's like, okay, we're going to add $2,000 per person who doesn't vote, or you get $5,000 added to the trust. It's like, okay, $10,000 out of the trust divided by 9 people. It's like, okay, so what? We're getting like a little over $1,000. Like, hey, $1,000 is nice, but you're not going to like screw over someone you're living with for $1,000. If it's $50,000, $20,000, maybe now we can start talking. I think these offers have been weak and probably intentionally very weak, so that we kind of as an audience are accustomed to them, you know, helping the group. And then it's going to be a big one. Boom. You know, we saw Julie take this offer at the end of episode 4. Yeah. We have to see. Actually, I freeze framed it when she opened it, but the text is far too blurry. I tried to put it through Photoshop and mess with the curves. I put it in black and white, messed with the curves to see if I could pop out the text. Sometimes that works. I was not able to do that. Maybe someone who had higher resolution, like 4K TV, maybe can.
I love that. That's how dedicated Will is, guys. Just in case you were wondering, like, if he's a worthy specialist, there it is. He's I'm not doing that. He's putting it through photo. He's trying to figure it out so we can get the head start on episode 5 and 6 and 7 of The Trust, the Game of Greed. But I love that. And it does seem like this is going to be a big one. It seems like this was one that they really wanted somebody to take. And like, Julie's going to take it. Julie's whole story has been like, I need the money, whatever. I mean, you could see from the start of this game that you could walk in there and you could say, great, all 11 of us, like, let's just hang out. It doesn't matter. But the problem is where it does become the game of greed is that it's like, okay, I can say, yeah, sure. Like, I'm not going to vote. But then all it takes is one person to be like, screw you guys. I don't know you. Of course I'm going to vote so I can get a little bit extra money. Like, now that they all know Bryce is a millionaire, Bryce is not going to end up splitting the prize with everybody at the end of the game.
Oh, he's done.
Yeah, he's done. He couldn't wait to tell everybody he was a millionaire because he's arrogant. But, like, he couldn't wait for that.
No, I could see that where, like, it was weighing on him and he doesn't – I mean, he doesn't need the money. So it's like, okay, what are we at? Like $260,000 right now.
Yeah.
Split 9 ways. I mean, that's not moving the needle for many people, especially if you're, you know, if you're a millionaire. So I feel like he just liked the people. I think he's almost saying, hey, I'll be a number. I'll do what you guys want. At the end, I'm going to bow out anyway. I just want to be on the show. I feel like that's honestly what he said. I don't think he's like, I deserve the money. Wait, you don't hear him saying that. You hear him saying, I deserve to be here. I deserve to be a part of the family and the experience because I am here and I have made relationships. And I feel like he would bow out kind of like in The Traitors, without spoiling season one, if you don't want to be spoiled on The Traitors, I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds. Kind of like what Ari did for Sari at the end, where Ari's like, I'm already super successful. I already have a lot of money. You have like a family. I think Ari has kids now actually too, but he's like a race car driver and he was on The Bachelor and has a lot of money. So he's like, I don't need this. Sari, you played a great game. Take it. I feel like that's kind of Bryce's role in this, but I don't think he makes it that far because they're going to be like, let's just get him out of here. It's one of those things. Like, you find any reason to get someone out, that's what you're looking for because you're not forced to do it by the game. So you're almost got – you got, like, your headlights on. You're just, like, searching. Mm-hmm. Oh, this person has this – like, oh, they did this? Oh, they're gone because I can't trust them moving forward. You just make up a bullshit excuse because you want to split the money with fewer people.
Well, and the other problem with this show is the vault, because Bryce could go into the vault. He could accept a $20,000 offer and take the 20 grand if he wants to. Or maybe he goes down there with Julie and Julie says, Bryce, I need this money. I don't give a crap that you don't need it. You can give it to me after the game. I don't care. Like, get down here. We're taking this 20 grand. Well, now Bryce just took 20 grand off of it. Why give him that opportunity? Like, vote him out before he has the opportunity to do that. So that's, I think he'll end up going home, but I do think, like, that is what I like about this concept more than The Traitors. And I really want to, like, hone in on this. I really like the idea that with The Traitors, at least with season one, we don't know what season two holds until tomorrow night. But with season one, it was like Alan Cumming walked around and picked three people. It was not random. He did not just happen to pick Sari. He did not just happen to pick the only man from Big Brother. And he did not just happen to pick Christian, who was like the loudest personality out of the newbies. That was predetermined. And Sari and Christian and Cody had no choice but to play that game as traitors. They do not benefit in any way. Like, at the end of the game, and again, spoilers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Don't listen right now, but it's...
That
it's
was like, a quick 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, well, that's why I waited, but now it's done. If
that's why I hopped in, just to give that
gap. Yeah, now it's done. Now people are going to be tuning back in and now they're going to get spoiled. So way to go us. But at the end of that game, with how it was set up, Sari felt bad. But obviously, I mean, you know, Sari wants the money for herself, but she's still going to feel bad because she's made a relationship with these people. But there's no way for Sari to help those other people get money. Like, there's nothing. The only thing Sari can do to get those other people money is to take herself out of the game. Which she's not going to do because then she gets nothing. So why would you do that? This game is different though. And so what I like about this is you're not trying to figure out who's a snake in the grass, who's doing whatever. You are literally just going out there and you're saying, if we wanted to, we could not do this. But everybody is going to have a reason for why they feel that they deserve something more than somebody else does. We're seeing that with Julie right off the bat. We saw that with Tolu when she didn't smile at Bryce once when Bryce was telling her he was the millionaire. Like, we are seeing that and you're going to understand that. And it's just like at the beginning of the game, Juels, I think his name was, he gets voted out right off the bat because the women said, you know what? We're just going to vote him out because we don't trust him because we think he's lying to people. He hasn't told us what his thing is. And he got to go in the vault. And I think that's why Simone went early too, is because she went into the vault and then she called out Jay, which was stupid. But like, so we saw those things happen at the beginning of the game where there was a reason to vote those people out. Now it's been a little bit quieter and everything like that, but this is a game where you don't need to do much to get people to vote you out. And I love the fact that one vote is literally all it takes. One vote. And it's crazy to me that Jake, whose name has been on the chopping block, hasn't voted yet, even though he could be voted out in any of these by just one vote. Like, just throw a vote then. Who cares?
No, that is the best part. It's still the majority. Whoever gets the most votes still goes home. But not everybody's voting. So it can just take one stray vote. Something else that's really interesting too is the tie. Because we've seen this play out already, where if the votes are tied, and this comes from, I mean, maybe it came up independently when they were working on the format of this show, but this is in a lot of Korean games, especially for anyone who's watched The Genius.
Will's favorite.
My favorite show. I love The Genius. A big part of that was alliances the rules of the game allowed you, if you tied, everyone would get immunity. So everyone would play a game like a challenge or whatever, and there would be one basically immunity. If you won, you got immunity, and you got another immunity token you can give to somebody else. And that's what the winner would get. But if you were to play the game in a way that you got everyone to tie, so if you could have like five people all with the same score, then all of them would get immunity. So you're playing for that, they would call it a joint win. And if you could arrange a joint win, then there you go. But then once you start arranging a joint win, then it's like, wait a second. Maybe I can take the win for myself if I do this, or I'm not sure this is going to work. Do I want to stick with this group? If we're not able to pull it off and one person goes ahead of us, I don't know. It creates a big dilemma with how you handle tied votes. And this show does a great job because it becomes a real dilemma. We saw with Julie, you know, someone's voting. Well, I'm going to vote just to defend it. But hey, our votes ended up on the same person.
And she doesn't even know if Jay actually voted now. She could be the only one who voted. Because she's like, maybe she voted, but she didn't know how many votes were.
Yeah, maybe Jay was bluffing for whatever reason and lied and didn't vote. And then her sole vote sent some. I mean, I'm sure she's thinking that's an absolute possibility. And then even if there's three votes, like you could, there's a lot going on. Or once we start, I think as we get later, it will be like two clear alliances. I think we've already seen an alliance develop with the women.
It's kind of gone across gender lines, it feels like.
Yes. And then maybe the men get together and it's like, all right, it's like a 3-3 tie and no one goes home. It's like, I really like that wrinkle with how ties are handled, and that you can like basically negate votes.
And that's why, in my opinion, so I don't know if this will get a season two. Part of me thinks probably not. But then again, it's Netflix. You don't know how good
Netflix it almost always does at least like two or seasons. Three seasons.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe this like does
almost
the second season.
Always.
Maybe it does. But it gets easier to game in that second season. They have to throw more twists at you. But my thinking is, if I go out there, all it takes is one vote to send me home. If I'm playing this game, I think I'm just voting one person out every single time to make sure that one stray vote doesn't send me home. And I don't think people, because of the method of this vote, because you don't know how many votes were cast, because you don't know anything about it, I don't think people would ever pick up. If you're going out there and you're voting every single time, I don't know if people would necessarily pick up on the fact that it's you who's voting every single time, because there's going to be feuding. There's going
to
be fighting.
I mean, you'd have to be a really good liar. Like, I mean, the lie is very easy. It doesn't have to be a creative lie, but you basically just say, no, I didn't vote. That's all you say. But people, man, like if you're, it's easy for us here just watching the show. You are with those people 24/7. Like you start relying on these people for, I mean, every social interaction you have is with these people.
For barbecue, man. That's
what
we need.
It's probably, you know, a little bit easier said than done. It does seem like too, I think on that preview after episode 4, there was a way to reveal someone's votes. So it's
I didn't know there was a preview after episode 4. I just watched episode 4 and then turned it off. I didn't realize there was something else.
There is a preview, and it was like, you can now play this and reveal who they voted for each time. Which is, you know, for a show like this, that's huge. And so your strategy, oh, Phil, let's see. What have you been doing? Oh, Phil, buddy, you've just been single-handedly.
Was it like asshole or something where it's like, oh, you're the asshole. Nice, dude. Like that was hard to figure out. Like,
yeah.
I mean, but yeah, I think that's where like in season one, they're going to start pulling out these twists where you didn't know. So my strategy coming to season one, if I'm like, I'm going to vote out Tolu because she seems like she's getting really tight with the girls. And then I'm going to turn around and I'm going to vote out Jake because, you know, that will make it seem like, oh, it was redemption for Tolu and they assumed it was Jake. My strategy wouldn't work because then they would turn around and be like, hey, by the way, Phil, now every single vote you made is going to be revealed. But when you get to season two, maybe it becomes a little bit easier to predict of what's going to happen. Now, here's my question to you. Would you be taking the money if it's like $2,500 from the vault? I know that we already talked about like, we don't know. They're saying you don't have to tell anybody, but if they're going to tell you the amount of money that's in there every time, then obviously it's going to be revealed. If it wasn't being revealed, would you be taking like the money each time or no?
I mean, it depends who you're in there with. Like that's a big part of it. It's like, am I going in with someone that I trust? Is it just a random person? I once they did that pair off thing for the dinner party, I thought it was going to be, all right, Gasper, now send in a pair, because at least you know those pairs trust each other, and it's, you're more willing to do the selfish act if it's with someone you trust. Whereas if I'm going in with like someone I'm not connected with and it was just randomly drawn by one of these cards, I'm like, I don't really want to tip my hand to this person. So I'm just going to do the safe thing, which has always helped the group. And then it, once we get down to the lagoon, it's, you know, private offers and they don't even know they're going to the vault. So now it's like, finally, for the first time, we're seeing someone actually take an offer that's going to benefit them and not the group because of the circumstances around it. And that it is in private, and that even Brian's not going to know what Julie does here. And that even everyone back home doesn't know that Julie and Brian even had a chance at an offer. And that's where you're going to get people kind of going against the group. I think anything in public or anything with even one other person, you're just going to have this kind of, yeah, I'll do it for the team. I'm all about the team.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's a good assessment of that. I just think with a show like this, you're guaranteed nothing. So I feel like if I got the opportunity, especially with how random it has been going into the vault, I think I'd probably take some of the money. I would ask
the producers. I'd be like, guys, like, is this public or like, are they going to know? Or like, what's the deal here?
And it could be known later on, like, oh, you get the, you know, you get a twist that's going to reveal this. But like, I want to know in that moment,
right?
Are they going to hear like, oh, so yeah.
Like, well, obviously someone's going to find out eventually. It's a TV show. Like the show is going to air. Like people will see that you did this. But yeah, can I like do it and then lie about it?
Yeah.
What do you think of the test?
They want you to be able to do that, but it seems like they keep telling you how much money is in there. So you'd have to come up with a lie of what the other offer was, because now they're starting to get to the point where offers are like, we each get $5,000 or $10,000 comes out of the trust anyway. So it can be like, now they've kind of put that in your head of, if I go down there and it's $2,500 each, I could just say it was either $2,500 each or $5,000, but we get, you know, however much money for the amount of people who don't vote. Oh, great. We banked 18 grand. Like, would Brooke go along with that lie? Or is Brooke going to be like, you guys didn't bank anything? And then it's immediately revealed that, oh, well.
Yeah, no, this is all unclear. This is all unclear. I don't think it should be unclear. I think the audience should know
exactly. Totally agree.
How the rules of the show work, especially in a first season.
Especially in a game that isn't really a game where you don't
need to spend
so much time with this. You should be able to very clearly establish the rules right off the bat, because that's 2 minutes. It really is. It's 2 minutes to answer these questions.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the tests?
So the test is like the
secret game.
Secret game.
And the shuffle board. The lineup game where you had to rank everybody.
And then the dinner party,
I guess.
Everything was great until the dinner party. The dinner party was stupid. I thought the dinner party was dumb. And I have reasons for all this. I thought the lie thing was fun because that immediately pits people against each other. That's what you want in a show like this, right? And that's
okay.
Who else being voted out.
I almost, and this might go back to casting a little bit. It is going to go back to casting a little bit. I almost feel like they casted the show based on this first test, knowing like, hey, this, because we don't really have a game or a format, the only way this is going to be interesting is if they are living with people who they don't think deserve to be a part of the trust, that they don't deserve the money, but whether they're a bad person or they're already well off. Those are two reasons we've seen. We've had, you know, cheating on a spouse. You're already a millionaire. And I almost feel like they went out of their way. We need to cast someone who's really wealthy. That we need a character like that for this show to work. We need someone who's cheated on their spouse. Mm-hmm. We need someone who's been to prison. We need someone, and I forget.
Kind of. Well, Brian's was really crazy. He believes that money is poison.
That's not even a lie. That's like an opinion. Like, that's not a secret, like, about you or not.
They
like,
clearly
the,
put
the one Brian where I, like, they've slept with 150 people in revenge or something. So they, it almost feels like they were really, we have to find these really specific people in order to make this show work. Because if you just find 11 people that make great TV, all ages, all races, genders, like whatever, just a great mix of people that just are like great entertainment, they all might be hoots and be like, I'll share the money. Like, what reason do I have not to share the money with this person? And then you can't put that doubt. You can't share these secrets. Mm-hmm. So, and sometimes with Survivor, I almost feel like on Facebook, I think I'm friends with like one or two of the casting people. You'd see like, does anyone know a female beach volleyball player from Southern California? It's like, whoa, wait. Like, so you guys are going, you want a beach volleyball player.
Lauren like, O'Connell why? Was literally cast for that. Like, that's what Lauren O'Connell.
It was like, why do you need a beach volleyball player? It doesn't make sense. But that was for some, whatever reason, they were really casting towards this certain goal. And I feel like with this show, they were really trying to find people that had, not everybody, obviously, but that had some sort of secret that would make them feel less deserving. You know, even Joelle's being a cop. Like he said, a lot of people don't like cops. So that alone, and he lied about it, that alone, you know, that could be why he got cast on the show. Obviously, it has to be good TV, but I think they were really kind of, really tight and narrow with the kind of people they wanted for this.
I agree. And like they put on like those types of people who were like Brian's never going to vote somebody out unless somebody like unless he loses somebody close to. I still don't even think he'd vote then. Like I feel like Brian is just like hunky dory. It's all going to happen. Whatever. It doesn't matter. I don't know what my wheel just hit. So I got to move my microphone. Hang on. Okay. But I feel like that was always going to happen. I feel like Tolu and Julie were always going to be fighting for more money. And that's like what you want. And that's great. I like the lie thing. I thought that was good. I thought the shuffleboard was fine because that's just adding money. That's like pretty simple. Nobody's going to go.
Yeah. But no one went for the
immunity. Which I'm not surprised at, but you get money. That's like, whatever. It's 2 seconds. It's not a big deal. The ranking was fun. That creates drama because egos can't be put aside. I love whenever people are telling you how smart they are. I'm not siding with Jake or Julie because whenever somebody tells you how smart they are, they're not that smart. They're just not that smart of a person.
The smartest people go to like the middle or back of the line.
I think it was Gasper who was like, yeah, I'll just walk over here. I really don't care. Like, I'll just go back here. Like, he just walked to the other side. And like, that's telling people, no, I should be this. I'm the smartest one. I should be number one. It's like, what are you trying to
prove? No smart person would say that. You're kind of an idiot.
Yeah, so that one I liked. I thought that was fun. But the dinner party thing, my main reason I didn't like the dinner party was because they pre-chose who was going to pick in what order. So, like, Jay goes up and picks first. And I almost feel like it should have been, like, a blank vote of, like, who does everybody want to go to dinner with? And whoever got the most votes got to then make the decision of who they went to dinner with. Doing it this other way, it felt arbitrary. And by the end of it, it was like, obviously Gasper's not going to get picked. And then I thought it was stupid because there was the drama of Jake picked Brian and Julie was like, oh my God, is that really who you want to go? Don't you remember? Like, I'm really hot. Like, don't forget I'm super hot. And then they sit next to each other at the dinner anyway. So what difference did it make?
Yeah. And then once Gasper had to pick the reward, he didn't have to pick a pair. He just could pick any two people. So it honestly would have been better if he had to pick a pair and have that first, you know, pairing up mechanic actually means something besides, look, there's only 9 of you anyway. Like putting 9 of you at a table, it's like, oh, Phil, you're one person over. Now I can't talk to you. Like, I can still have dinner with you, man.
Yeah, because they all just sat there. Like, that's what it was. And if Bryce didn't come up and say, I'm a millionaire, that dinner was absolutely pointless. It was absolutely useless. So I like the initial ones. Like, I like the ranking.
I don't even think they called that a test, though. I don't know if they did. If we're going to be really, you know, nitpicky here. I think whatever first it was, three it was were a like, bad time for your next test. And then this one, Brooke was like, all right, let's have dinner. It's time for a dinner party.
Yeah. I just thought it was a bad mechanism more than anything. So that's just kind of where I'm at with that. But the problem with this is, not the problem, but I guess with this show, early on, you're really relying on your cast to cause drama, to have this be good. And like you said, they were very specifically going for certain people. Like Tolu was put on this show because they knew Tolu would cause drama. And like Tolu would be aggressive and play the game aggressively, even if she didn't need to. And that's what she's doing. And that's great. But like, you're really relying on your cast early. If you cast this wrong, this is a snooze. Like, it's a snooze. And I think the concept is cool, but if you do this wrong, it could be a painful first three episodes. Like, they could have gone the first three episodes without anybody going home. And what did we just watch today then?
Yes. And I wonder, I wonder too if it's one of those things where, I mean, could they have shown us votes where no one went out? Like, what if they voted and they didn't show us? Like,
could happen.
Like, they all went to vote and they're like, well, we're not going to include that. Because Netflix, they started this trend. I think we talked about this. I think maybe on the Patreon podcast. I don't want to give that whole away because that's on Patreon. But yeah. We talked a little bit about how Netflix shows, and they set this trend of not starting and ending episodes based on the format of the show, where, you know, Survivor, it's, we have a, you know, some camp life, we have a reward challenge, some more camp life, a immunity challenge, you know, scrambling for tribal, and then we have tribal council. Someone gets eliminated at the end of each episode. Netflix is like, it's like a flowy thing. You know, they want you to just hit next. It's one long season, one long episode. We can eliminate people at the end. We can do it at the beginning, in the middle. We can do tests this episode, but not this episode. We're going to throw an excursion in episode 4 out of nowhere. Who even knew that was like part of the format? Like, Netflix plays it really loose. And I think that actually caters really nicely to this, where they can, if it was boring for the first however many, they're not married to a cycle, essentially. It's like, Survivor's married to a cycle. Like, you have
Traitors
to have
is married to a cycle too.
Traitors is married to a cycle where the format is dictating where you end and start episodes. But this show, it's like, really, let's let this experiment play out, and then we can cut it into have however many episodes we need. Again, they don't have a broadcast order. It's not like we need to fill, you know, 13 Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. We don't have to do that. The Traitors also doesn't have to do that because they're on a streaming platform. And also, when they budget these out and price them out, they do want to have an idea of how much airtime they're getting from the show when they budget it and everything. But because it's Netflix, and because that's the way Netflix reality universe kind of works, if you watch The Circle, it's the same thing. It's like, they're just going to end the episode on a cliffhanger. It could be during a challenge. It could be during a discussion of the influencers. It could be after someone goes home, maybe. But that, I think, lends itself really nicely to the show because, again, it's not a game. They shouldn't have included game in the subtitle.
I was just going to say that because, you know, what's funny about this show is if you don't include the word game there and you look at this, this is kind of like a housewives show mixed with there is the potential to be eliminated. So, like, obviously there is a sum of money, but let's say nobody wanted to go home. Nobody voted anybody out for the entire 8-episode run. It could be like a housewife show where it's just fun to watch these people say stupid stuff and do stupid things and complain at each other and whatever and get frustrated with each other and whatever. And eventually somebody will get voted out. I mean, that's always going to happen in a show like this. But by including the word game, you're getting a different group of watchers for this show. And so you really do have to make sure that there is a game element to it every episode. Even if you're not following a great cycle or following a strict cycle, not great, strict. If you're not following a strict cycle, you need to make sure it's there because I wouldn't watch this show if it didn't look like Netflix counter-programming to the Traitors. If the first 4 episodes would have went today and I would have watched them and said nobody went home, I would have been pissed. But why did I just watch this? So it's like a damn, I don't know. I don't know if that's something they need to fix. I don't know. But I think the fact that they have to put a game of greed in there, trust, a game of greed.
I think that is, I think you're right. That is, you know, what they're trying to market it as, that this is a reality competition show. You know, we have The Mole, and then look, we have like Love is Blind and Perfect Match. We have our dating shows. We have our competition shows now. Like, they're trying to build up. They're trying to be like the Survivor, Big Brother, Amazing Race, like the be like CBS and have this like heavy, heavy unscripted reality arm. With formatted shows that aren't just like docuseries where we go follow these people around, but they're actually, you know, shows where people get eliminated and win money and fall in love and all that. Do you think, though, because this happens a lot of times on season 1 shows, especially, I mean, it can really only happen on season 1 shows. Mm-hmm. And it's that, do you know the name of the show? Do you know the logo? Do you know the subtitle? Like, I don't think, like, I think they knew the name was The Trust, but I've never heard Brooke or any of the cast members name check a game of greed where it's like, welcome to The Trust, a game of greed. Like, that seems like something that was put in after the fact. Because I also don't see any logos or insignia anywhere in the house. Like with Survivor, you had buffs and it had the logo and that graphic was approved and you could see it set outwit, outplay, outlast. And Richard Hatch used that to be like, of course we have to outwit. There's $1 million on the line and it's like, we're playing a game. There's one winner. I think for these players in this first season, they are heading into the show and it just is called the trust. You are all winners at the start. That's part of the premise. Mm-hmm. And that I don't think they're ever told that it's explicitly a game. And it'd be interesting if there is a season two, is Brooke going to be like, welcome to the trust, the game agreed, season two, or is it just like the trust? And like, now that people know that, just knowing that it's a game, it gives you a little bit more leeway to say, hey guys, it's a game, separate your emotions. Whereas if you just don't have that little snippet, it's like, it's just an experiment. We're just seeing what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's like, I think that the game of greed was inputted afterwards because the trust wasn't approved. Like there was probably some sort of, you know, licensing issue or something like that. So that's
I doubt it's that, because you can have a lot of things can have the same name. Like you can't really own.
Somebody probably trademarked the words, the trust.
I don't think it's a trademark thing as much as like a search result thing. Kind of like what you're saying. It's like, you kind of need the search result. Like,
if you just type in the trust,
right. Well, now, I mean, I'm sure today it's going to pop up. It just came out today.
Yeah. But like, but already the second thing is still the 2016 movie.
Yeah. On the right thing is the crime thriller, The Trust. Mm-hmm. But the top stories, it's all news. It's all Yahoo, Vulture.
If you don't go news,
Men's Health. And then the first actual search result that's not news is the IMDb page for The Trust with Nicolas Cage. Yeah.
And if you type in the trust recap, this is the first thing that comes up.
What is? We are?
Yeah.
No way.
I swear to God.
Wow. Look at us.
Yeah. Yeah. Millions of avid listeners. But okay. All that being said, what are you looking for as we go to next week? There's going to be three more episodes. How do you foresee this playing out? Let's kind of do a little predictions here of what you think is going to happen. How many people you think you're going to end up splitting this? What is going to end up happening to this trust money? I mean, I think we're both in agreement that it's not going to stay anywhere near $250,000 by the end. Like, people are probably going to start getting massive offers where all of a sudden it's going down to 200, 175, something like that. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah. Or it's like, we're going to offer you money, but it's not coming from the trust. I feel like they do want to keep that prize pool up, and I've said this before probably on Patreon, but it's like with the mole, they're always competing for the group fund, and if they lose out and they don't, they add at the end, it's like, oh, you can win it all back, and they make it really easy. So it's like, I think the end fund, like, it will always be at least $250,000. Like, you don't want your finale episode to like, all right, now three of you are left, there's $170,000 left in the trust, and you three have gone on to win, you're splitting the money. And it's like, okay, $170,000 split three ways for like a Netflix show? Like, what?
Yeah.
I do think the offers are going to, like, that's going to be the thing that is going to kick in, that they are going to be substantial. It's not.
What do you think Julie's offer is?
I don't know what it is. I have no idea what it is, but it's not even an offer. It's also, it's like, it's not even an offer because she doesn't know what it is.
Well, the offer was the offer, right? Like, the offer.
I know, but it's like, an offer is like, hey, I'm going to offer you this. Do you want it or not? She doesn't even know what it is or not. She's more like, if it's going to benefit me, sure. I think she probably gets money and takes it from the trust, especially because we have yet to see the trust take a big hit. I do think that she will take money. It'll probably be like $20,000 or $30,000 or something. $25,000. That's probably right. She gets it for herself personally, and then it will be announced at like a pool party, or they're having dinner, that someone took 25,000, and it'll be like, I didn't go to the vault. I didn't go to the vault. I mean, it will be all this. And then Brian will be like, hey, wait a second, probably Julie. And then maybe he will spill that secret, or maybe he won't. So I think offers are going to get bigger. And once that starts happening and people start losing trust in each other, then you're going to start seeing people vote every single time. It's going to be like, we've hit the point where we do not trust each other because we are losing money. We've seen the money go down, and now I need to protect myself by at least casting one vote. Kind of like you were saying, you just vote one time. Now it takes two people to not want you in the game.
Yeah.
So I foresee that. I don't foresee one winner in this show unless the show makes it happen and wants that outcome, where the show, you know, something with the hourglass where it's like you give them a choice that they can't refuse, or
at the end they get
it. Or it's like, oh yeah, if one of you wins, you get $2 million. But if two of you win, you're splitting $60. It's like, oh, I'm going to do the one where it's the one of us win, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think that's what this show is. I don't think that's what this show should be, because the whole premise is that there doesn't need to be one winner. So I would personally think that we're going to see a shared win. We get to three people. That's kind of my sweet spot. And I think if I'm like on the producing team of the show, I'm like, three people splitting like $580,000 or like something weird like that, or maybe like $600,000 or $700,000, maybe not all the way up to $1 million, but some high number, a higher number than we started with.
Uh-huh.
And then splitting that, I think, with three people, two people could work.
And
too.
People will get money throughout the game too. So you got to think like,
right. Like what's your total?
And you're still giving away maybe another 150 throughout.
Yes. Like what's your total take home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I think probably like 750. I think that's where I don't think they'll go up to $1 million, but I think it'll be like the possibility of when he said, here's what I think is going to happen. I think Julie is going to take $25,000 here or something like that from the trust. And then it's going to be, well, who do you think took it? And everybody's gonna be like, well, it obviously wasn't Brian. I think Bryce and Julie are both going to get voted out, except Julie's going to go home with some money. And I think we're going to get down near the end.
See, but I don't think they would announce it right after they do the excursion. Because then it's like, oh, obviously it was on the excursion because none of us went to the vault. I think that if they're going to announce it, I think they are going to, especially because they do tell Julie explicitly, no one will know. Like they were pretty clear with her. I don't think they're going to like totally throw her under the bus, especially because they want to incentivize future players of this show that, hey, taking an offer is anonymous. It's not so bad. I don't think they want to screw over the people that are being selfish, because that's kind of what you want to see. If you've subtitled mm-hmm. this show A Game of Greed, you want to see people taking the selfish, greedy offer instead of punishing them for doing so.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But I do think that eventually Julie will end up getting booted. I think something will happen. I think we're going to get down to like five people at the end. I think it's going to be Gasper. I think it's going to be Brian. I think you're going to have Winnie. You're going to have Tolu and maybe have Jay. And then it's going to be a matter of, do the women take out those two guys at the end of the game? Because they'd be able to, and they'd be able to split the money because whatever. I don't know if that'll happen, but that's where I think we're going to get down to. And I think that's what the finale is going to have. I think you're going to have like those five people. I'm totally throwing shit at the wind. I've never watched a Netflix show in my life, so I have no idea in terms of
reality. I think Gasper, there's something going on that they're setting up, because he's like, oh, I'm from New York. He's like, I get this. This isn't going to stay all rainbows forever. People are going to start turning on each other. I'm going to be ready for it. I feel like they're setting him up as this like really low key guy. And I'm kind of just keeping my eye on him, that he is going to do some devilish shit. Like that's kind of a prediction I have. I think Julie makes it pretty far. I don't see her getting eliminated. I think she outlasts Jake. I think she is going to eliminate Jake. I think that's kind of what we're getting set up, is Jake thinks he's the smartest. He's the leader. He even says, if someone had questioned it, I would have moved over. And then they flash back to Julie being like, dude, I'm smarter than you. Like, move over. And he's like, no. Or like, you guys switch. He's like, no. I think they're setting up Jake to fall. And I think at the hands of Julie would be like the most – I think that makes the most sense from what we've seen. So maybe Julie doesn't go all the way to win, but I think I could see Julie being put in a spot where she has to choose between Jake and the women. And she's like, see you later, Jake. And then Julie goes with the women and they end up, you know, taking home the prize, like some combination of them. And then maybe Gasper sneaks his way in. I don't know if Gasper wins either. I think he's going to last long. He's going to send like Brian home or something. Like he's going to be like the sniper that takes out the beloved fan favorite.
Yeah.
Like
that's
vibe I'm getting from
him. I don't foresee Brian being voted out of this game unless somebody like Gasper takes him out. I will say, we didn't say her name once this whole episode, but Lindsay, okay, maybe it's just me.
I really like Lindsay.
Do you see? I don't understand the casting choice of Lindsay. I don't get it.
Well, no, they needed someone that cheated on their spouse. Remember,
but you could have found a more interesting version of that, in my opinion. Like, I just,
no, I think not... no, I think it is interesting because she was like, "Oh yeah, I was Mormon and I like was like basically in this cult and I wanted to get out, and the only reason I cheated was to like get out of this like situation that I didn't want to be in, and then I'm now like married for the, with the guy I cheated on, and now we have like three kids, and I guess they're not happy family, but like she's, I don't know." And then her interviews are so good. Lindsay is,
you think so? See, I don't like her interviews.
Oh, but she's like yelling, she's excited, and then she's like playing it cool.
Yeah,
she's like very chill around everybody in the scenes. It's she's an interesting character because she's so loud and over the top in the interviews, and then when she's with everybody else, she's like so subdued and she's observant, she's looking around, and then someone's, I think someone was like, "Hey, I think we have to vote someone off." She's like, "Hey, let me know. I'm game. I'm ready to vote people off." She also seems like someone who's going to start playing the game a little bit harder and has already told us she's very willing to start sending people home.
Yeah. Maybe it's just that I don't watch reality TV enough. But I just feel like in the confessionals, I'm like, it feels inauthentic to me. Like, it just feels like she's like yelling and trying to do what she thinks she's supposed to be doing in those. But like, I don't feel like it's authentic, but maybe I'm just,
I could see that where it's like, oh, she's putting on for the interview because she's not like that at all in her scenes with everybody. I don't find it inauthentic. I find it more like she's like venting finally, cause she's like trying to hold this all in real time. But hey, maybe she's fooling me and she's just like putting on this like really aggressive, loud, like angry middle-aged woman who's like pissed, and mm-hmm. she's just building this character up. And I think that it feels pretty real to me. But who knows? It's tough. They definitely, I mean, for all these shows, they produce up the interviews. They say they try to get them to be loud, energetic, all that. So,
yeah. Well, that's all I got for the Trust a Game of Greed episodes 1-4. You got anything else?
I guess one more thing is, I think this would have been a perfect, they do this a lot, a show where the host is not a person, like basically a show without a host. It's like mm-hmm. a voice or a computer. I don't know if you've ever watched Too Hot to Handle.
I mean, she pretty much is, dude, the way she talks.
Right. Too Hot to Handle did this where they did not have a host. It's like a speaker and it bleeps and it's a voice. I've done a couple shows. I've worked, if you've seen All Star Shore by chance, we just like left like index cards. They walk up to the challenge, here are the rules, and they like read it. There's a lot of hostless shows. Big reason is because it's expensive, especially if you want like a talented person. It costs a lot to have a host. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think this show, out of any I've seen, feels the most like, it makes the most sense that they go to this mansion and it's almost like the dealer from Deal or No Deal. And it's like this voice and it's like, I've invited you to come be a part of my trust. Mm-hmm. And maybe they want some more emotional back and forth, but I don't think that stuff's like playing all that well. Like when they have those little short conversations, it almost feels like it should be like this exotic billionaire has come and invited you to be a part of his trust. And he's like a character. Again, this would be a little more levity, a little bit winking mm-hmm. that we're on a TV show here, which I think is fine. I think it's needed for this sort of thing where it's like this kind of fake backstory, just like Deal or No Deal had. They'd have that. They always went up to the dealer and he's yeah. in that room and you see his silhouette. It's like you never see him. You never talk to him. And he's
spoiler. Just like, that's not like a real banker, you know?
No. It's an algorithm spitting out a number based yeah. on, you know, odds and all that. The genius too. They don't have a host. They literally go in. There's a like a silhouette of a, they call him bandage man. It's like a silhouette of a guy. And he has this deep voice and he explains the games. He goes, welcome. And then starts explaining how to play the games. And it's, I think it works really well. Sometimes when you add like a deep personal, emotional person in there to get this, it's just, I don't know. I think there needs to be some levity. So that's all I got. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been a good show to go hostless.
I agree. I do agree with you. I don't think Brooke is, you know, and I'm not trying to like shit.
Nothing
like,
against Brooke. Like, it's just, yeah, the I don't show. Feel like adding yeah. to it. No. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Alan Cumming, without Alan Cumming, the Traitors wouldn't be what the Traitors is. But like Brooke Baldwin just feels like, hey, we needed somebody who would be somewhat recognizable to our viewers. I don't know.
I don't recognize her. So
I don't either. So the next one, we'll be recapping this at some point. We'll figure it out in the next couple episodes drop next Wednesday. So we'll have to figure out when we're actually going to podcast it. Don't look for it on Wednesday. I highly doubt it's going to be happening Wednesday.
Depends when the Phil and Will show is. If you haven't caught the Phil and Will show, we did that last night. I thought it was a lot of fun. We talked about, you know, why no one watches Golden Globes or any of these award shows, and then broke down all the NFL playoff games. So be sure to check out the Phil and Will show if you haven't already.
Yeah, and tomorrow night, I mean, I'm just going to say, are we doing midnight, like my time? Is that pretty much what's going to happen? Maybe it's a little bit earlier, depending on how long the episodes are. We'll be doing the traders.
Yes. That is a twist, though, to release it that late. I was hoping we could do it and then I could like do something else after.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to be possible.
I couldn't agree more, man. I have to get up early the next day and work on Saturday. And like,
Peacock doesn't allow the 1.5 speed, which is so crucial. If we're going to be podcasting this many shows, I watched The Trust all on 1.5 speed. And the only thing I think I missed was that it was in Santo Domingo, was that it said that thing. Other than
that. Did you catch Julie saying she was hot, though? Did you catch that?
I guess she's hot.
No, but I mean, did you catch
her? I know.
Yeah.
I know.
She's hot. Bryce is a millionaire. Don't forget it. But yeah, we'll see. We'll do it. It'll be out at some point tomorrow. So tune in for that. But thank you all so much for listening. Become a patron, patreon.com/specialist. We won't be having the Trust a Game of Greed content anytime soon, but maybe one day. Maybe one day. I'll never
count on it. Not on Patreon.
Not anytime soon.
Unless this blows up, this becomes the next Survivor. It's the biggest hit.
I hope it is, because like I said, we're the top.
Look, I enjoyed this show. I'm not mad or upset that the way it's going. I think
there's just disconnects.
Yeah, it feels just a little off. Something feels, again, I think it's that it's so serious for me. It's kind of the one thing where I wish it were lighter and funnier and just more fun and entertaining, as opposed to like, let's really figure out what happens. Yeah. I need the money. I came from nothing. Oh.
Yeah. On that note, thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow with the traders.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.